Morning, Saints. Let's go ahead and get started. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Try not to let the wind blow your pages too much. So, over the past couple of years, I've had a pretty big focus on the Word and trying to communicate that to those who are outside of Christ and thinking, how do I effectively portray the message of God to this world? And how do I make that clear and stick with people? And I think that's a question that everybody has to go through as they are looking to evangelize and get the Word of God out to the rest of mankind. And I think that the answer that I came to was to look at Jesus and how He's teaching and see how God does it. And it's really interesting, the way that God chooses to communicate to people is with pictures. And you look back at the mountains back here, water, the backdrop that we have. A lot of people, that's a very beautiful picture. Yeah, you got Davis talking about the water yesterday. Yeah, look at all that water out there. Yeah. Beautiful, how it flows over, the way it can cut through the mountains. God uses water a lot, actually, doesn't He? Now that you had that pointed out to you. Yeah? There's a huge picture given to us by a master painter. I like to think, when I think of paintings, I only know one painter, really, and that's Bob Ross. You know, that guy, he's pretty chill, pretty mellow guy. And you know what he likes to do? He likes to do those nature scenes, right? Yeah. Put a little happy little bush right there in the painting. Yeah. And I think God kind of works the same way. And when He is trying to give us a picture of His Word, you know, He's like, put a happy little bush right there, you know? Put some water there. We're going to put a mountain right here. And what He's trying to do is He's trying to paint the picture for us so that we get the picture. He's really trying to just get that ingrained in our head. Because you know what? There's a phrase that we use in the world quite often. A picture is worth 1,000 words. And man, is that true. Because God's got a really difficult task at hand. He's trying to communicate spiritual things to non-spiritual beings. That's pretty much like us trying to tell a blind guy what that mountain looks like. Someone blind from birth, we couldn't even get to the colors. So God's got a tremendous task in front of Him. How do I communicate the things of the spiritual realm to a people who've never seen it before? And He still finds a way to get us to see it by using the things that we can see. So we have an example here in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus actually did this through parables. So in Matthew 13, he tells this parable of the seeds being scattered. And people come up to Him after, and they kind of have a problem with it. They're like, you know, couldn't you just like tell us what you're going to tell us? You know, like, no need to have such a mystery about it. Like, half of us didn't even understand what you were saying, man. How effective is that? And so Jesus, He's going to take some time to explain why He's talking the way He is. And as a quick note before we read, in a Bible study with some of the young men, we were looking at some of the Hebrew and Greek, and the Hebrew word mashal is the word for proverb, and it means the same thing as parable. And if you looked up the Greek word parabol for parable, that's a stretch, I know, it means proverb. And the two are interchangeable. So Jesus is using the same style of teaching as like the wisdom books of the Bible, as the scholars would call it. So Matthew chapter 13, we're going to take a look at a section here of 10 through 17. Says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered them, to you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you'll keep on hearing, but will not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. That prophecy in Isaiah, when those guys are closing their eyes, how well are you going to be able to see that picture? When you're not paying attention and you're shutting off all your senses to take in what's being told to you, you're not getting anything. And the message is, listen up and look at what I'm showing you. Pay attention. And all these messages through Daniel and Ezekiel, there's some imagery in there, man. Some things that God wanted us to look at and to see. And I was actually thinking of Ezekiel 36:26, where God is talking about taking that heart of flesh that is stone, and he's going to replace that thing with a brand new heart. Yeah. In the New Testament, he calls himself the great physician. Yeah. Mike talked about sheep and shepherds yesterday. I think there's a little bit of that going on in the Bible. Think that that's mentioned occasionally? God's trying to paint a picture for us of what he's trying to accomplish. And he's using all these pictures for us so that we understand. Because quite honestly, the task is difficult. How do you tell someone about something they've never seen or anything? They have no idea. And he uses a reference point for us to be able to communicate that. He's painting the picture for us. And as God's given us this masterful portrait, because he's a masterful communicator, we can see the brush marks that really point towards him in his painting. So, kind of to close up everything here, pay attention to the pictures that are being painted by the Word. They are communicating something that really makes this thing come alive. And actually, real quick, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This word has an impact on the hearts of men. And it is a living and breathing word. And when you start to understand the picture that God is putting before us, that's when that thing starts to take shape and starts to have breath in it for you. So Christian, pay attention to the painting that God's making. This thing comes alive when you start to see it.